From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Duncan in for Beth Rujak. Two politicians made their cases on live television this week for big campaign promises, and the PolitiFact team is hard at work checking some of those claims. Last night, President Donald Trump made his first Oval Office address to the nation. He argued for funding a physical barrier along the U.S.-Mexico border. And earlier this week, Gavin Newsom gave his inaugural address as the 40th governor of California. Joining us by phone today is Angie Holin, national PolitiFact editor, who did some fact-checking on the president's address. Angie, welcome to Insight.
Thanks for having me.
Also joining us today is Chris Nichols, PolitiFact California reporter. And Chris did some fact-checking on Governor Newsom's inauguration speech and will fill us in on what he discovered. Chris, welcome to Insight.
Good morning, Beth. Great to be here.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you. So, Angie, we're going to start with the president's address last evening. We have a clip of the president repeating one of his claims about how to pay for the wall. Let's listen to that.
The wall will also be paid for indirectly by the great new trade deal we have made with Mexico.
So how about that claim by President Trump that Mexico will at least, he said, indirectly pay for the wall?
This is pretty dubious. The Mexican government is not making payments to the U.S. government. President Trump seems to be saying that added revenues and economic growth from this new agreement would offset the cost of the wall, but there's no way that it will pay for the wall, either directly nor really indirectly. And this is why he's having to go to Congress to ask for the money, because the money needs to be appropriated for construction costs. And there's nothing about the deal that sends any sort of revenue that way, either directly or indirectly. And then finally, the trade deal is not final. It needs to be go through some logistical hurdles, and it needs to be approved by all three countries, and that hasn't happened yet.
Did you rate the claim he made?
No, we did not rate this. We just are adding additional context. So, and on this one, this one is pretty dubious.
President Trump went back to another line of argument that he's repeated many times since he started his campaign about why we need the wall. Let's listen.
Our southern border is a pipeline for vast quantities of illegal drugs, including meth, heroin, cocaine, and fentanyl. Every week, 300 of our citizens are killed by heroin alone, 90% of which floods across from our southern border.
So, Angie, how did PolitiFact evaluate that claim about the drugs coming across our border?
This one is a real mixture. He's got some good points, and he's also got some distortion. So, certainly right now, Mexico is the primary country where heroin is coming into the United States. Other drugs as well, but certainly heroin. And he has a point about the heroin deaths. He says 300 of our citizens are killed by heroin alone. That's accurate based on the statistics we have. But the 90% of which flows across our southern border, that's to some extent right, but the heroin is generally being smuggled through ports of entry, which means legal passages, so roads, bridges. It's hidden in trucks. People carry it across. This isn't something that a wall would stop. And some people have said that the wall would stop heroin trafficking, but there's no evidence that shows that's true. The heroin could still be smuggled in, even with a wall, just the way it's smuggled in now. So with Trump's statements on the drugs, it's a real mixture. He does have a point, but it's not clear his solution would do anything.
So, Angie, any other specific takeaways from last night's address?
Well, I think he has distorted some of his attacks on Democrats. At a few moments in his speech, he got political. He said the Democrats used to support a physical barrier, but they only changed his mind when he was elected president. That's not really true. The Democrats have supported border security and border fencing, but Trump criticized those plans when he was campaigning as insufficient. And Democrats have been pretty consistent in saying that they do not think a wall needs to be built between the two countries. So that attack was somewhat misleading.
How long have you been tracking campaign promises?
We've been fact-checking Donald Trump's campaign promises since he was inaugurated. And in the next few weeks, we're going to be putting together a special report where we look at all of his campaign promises on immigration, on regulation, on foreign policy. And we'll be issuing ratings then about how he's done. He had a Republican Congress the first 2 years. Now he doesn't. And so whatever he wants to accomplish legislatively, I think the easy period for him is over. Everything's going to be much harder from here on out.
But before Trump, you were tracking as well, right? How long does PolitiFact go back with that?
We've been fact-checking since 2007, and we fact-checked President Obama and tracked his campaign promises as well. In fact, last night we were talking to some of our readers on Twitter, telling them that we were going to fact-check President Trump's speech, and they said, well, did you do this with Obama? And the answer is, yes, we did. We fact-checked many of Obama's speeches, both his State of the Union addresses and his primetime commentary. So since 2007, PolitiFact has been both fact-checking and tracking campaign promises.
Angie, thanks for joining us. We look forward to having you on Insight again.
Thank you.
Now let's check in with PolitiFact reporter Chris Nichols, who's in studio. Great to see you, Chris. We appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Beth.
Before we dive into the Gavin Newsom material, I understand we have a quick item about President Trump's comments about California wildfires. This happened this morning?
That's right. President Trump sent out a tweet this morning about California, and I'll go ahead and read it so we can talk a little bit about it. He said that, quote, billions of dollars are sent to the state of California for forest fires that, with proper forest management, would never happen. And then he went on to say, unless they get their act together, which is unlikely, I have ordered FEMA to send no more money. It is a disgraceful situation in lives and money. So that's what he sent out just about an hour ago. And I think it's important to keep in mind this is only a threat. The president has, in fact, made this threat before about eliminating money for California wildfires. But there's also a claim sandwiched inside that threat that we've heard before about forest management and its role in these deadly wildfires. Back in November, we fact-checked President Trump on a similar claim when he said that essentially poor forest management was the only reason for these fires. And we spoke with forestry and climate experts who told us that, yes, you know, thinning out trees, setting prescribed burns, clearing brush, that is one factor. That's one way to reduce maybe the severity of some of these fires. But it's not the only factor. It's not necessarily even the driving force. They talked about California's stronger winds, higher temperatures, drier conditions driven by climate change, and also urban sprawl. More and more people living in our forested areas, increasing the chances for sparking these fires. So we ended up giving that statement a false rating, given that he put the blame on just simply one factor, said this is the only reason. This looks like it's following kind of a similar pattern.
And he seems to zero in on that. It's a very complex situation, obviously, but from his perspective, he zeroes in on that one situation.
Right, and it looks like he's attempting to make a political point and holding out, again, a threat of eliminating money, as he's done in the past.
Well, let's switch gears and talk about the Newsom Meter Project. What is it, actually, and how's it going to work?
This is a project that we launched last week. It's a project that will track the progress or the lack of progress in some cases of 12 of Gavin Newsom's campaign promises over the next few years. As we all know, now Governor Gavin Newsom made some really bold and ambitious promises on the campaign trail on topics from housing to healthcare, homelessness, education, the environment. on education. He talked about what he calls his cradle to college education approach. And what we're going to do is we're going to publish updates as we see evidence of concrete action taken on each promise. And we will let our audience know what's happening. There are 6 ratings with this project, just like we have ratings for our truthometer when we fact check a politician. We rate something either true or false or pants on fire. With this, we have ratings everything from promise kept to promise broken, a few in between, a compromise when maybe a politician accomplishes a little bit less than what they set out to say, but there's still progress made, somewhat consistent with the goal. So this is what we'll be up to now that we have a new governor.
And we have a clip of quite a few promises that the new governor made. Let's listen to that.
Guaranteed health care for all. A Marshall Plan for affordable housing. A master plan for aging with dignity. A middle-class workforce strategy. A cradle-to-college promise for the next generation.
We have a lot to keep track of there, Chris.
That's right. 12 promises in all. And we heard some of them there. We heard what Newsom has described as his Marshall Plan for affordable housing. And I think everybody knows that California is really struggling with a crisis when it comes to a lack of affordable housing. Newsom, on his website, on his campaign website, talked about leading the effort to develop 3.5 million new housing units by 2025. And that's one of the key promises that we're going to be tracking. A lot of political observers have talked about that one as likely unrealistic. You would have to increase the pace of housing construction by 4 or 5 times in California to get to that number. But in fairness to Newsom, he has talked about these as bold for a reason, that he wants to be aggressive. He has, in some cases, backed away, saying that these are not so much promises, more goals. But in our article that we published about this project, we do link to his website where you can go and see the promises he made. That website is no longer live, but what we did is link to an archived version of it.
And we have a clip, too. Let's listen to regarding the inauguration on the California economy from the inauguration. Let's hear it, and then you can talk about that, Chris.
Stagnant wages, costs that keep rising, rent, utilities, visiting the doctor, the basics are increasingly out of reach.
And he made this right after describing the economy as booming.
That's right. And with his inauguration speech, we did fact check his statements, a variety of statements that he made, including these statements about the economy. On that topic, we looked at specifically stagnant wages and rising rents. Certainly, he's going to be dealing with those issues. I think there's some information to keep in mind when it comes to wages. Those, in reality, have jumped nearly 3% over the past year, which is the most in the past decade. But when it comes to them being stagnant, Newsom does have a point if you factor in rising inflation. That has eliminated much of the purchasing power of wage increases nationwide. And of course, on rents, Newsom is right. Some California cities have seen rents go up 10% or more in a single year. I think what's important to keep in mind is we have seen rent increases slow down a bit in the last year or so as more apartments have been built across the state.
And we have another clip from the inaugural speech on the California budget.
We will build and safeguard the largest fiscal reserve of any state in American history.
So that sounds, again, kind of like a goal or a pledge rather than
right.
a promise.
Right. I think you can certainly interpret it as a promise. We looked at it. I think for some context, we should consider that California already has what's called its rainy day reserve fund of about $14 billion. That would most likely be larger than just about any other state's reserve, at least in raw numbers. So in some ways, California may have met this goal or this promise. But we also looked at a report by the Pew Research Center, which says that several other states around the country have already socked away more money as a share of their own budgets than California. So perhaps there is some room for California to get a little bit better on that score.
Talk about Governor Newsom's description of California's homeless situation. He called it epidemic.
That's right. And that is that topic, homelessness. It's another topic where the governor or then candidate Newsom made quite a few promises. We'll be tracking those as well, including increasing services for the homeless. But when it comes to just how bad is the problem, I think that one would have to say that Newsom's description is pretty accurate. The most recent federal homeless count did show a small decline in California's homeless population, down about 1% last year. But we still have nearly 130,000 people who are homeless in the state. That's far more than any other state. And just a year back, we saw about a 14% rise in our homeless population, while the nation's overall population stayed flat. So in California, I think California does have a unique and really difficult problem when it comes to this topic.
Did you place any Truth-O-Meter ratings on any of the claims?
We did not for the inaugural speech. Some of his statements did. We offered some context and offered past fact checks that would help people understand what his statements on rents and the economy and homelessness. And those are all at politifact.com/California.
Can the ratings change?
Well, the ratings do change if new information becomes available. We have changed, I think, two ratings in the past since we started this project a few years back. So if new information comes about, we will always look at it and consider it.
So let's talk about the 12 promises that you're going to be tracking and their source.
Well, I think as we talked about the housing pledge, this idea of building millions new housing, that's going to be an important one. There are some others on education that I think are also equally ambitious. Newsom said that he wants to provide access to universal preschool. He said that he wants to launch savings accounts for all incoming kindergartners and guarantee free community college for all California residents. So I think on that front, we will be looking at some pretty bold, challenging promises. Healthcare, creating universal healthcare access for all California residents, regardless of their ability to pay or their immigration status. We're already seeing some movement on that topic. Creating a single-payer healthcare plan. That, of course, is going to be a major, perhaps the most daunting challenge for his administration. He did say on his website that he wants to ensure California leads the way on a plan to guarantee quality health care for everyone financed through a single-payer model like Medicare. So we'll be watching that closely. Again, observers have said that may be among the most difficult.
You also talked about the environment.
That's right. We have two promises that we want to track on the environment. Gavin Newsom said that he would ensure our state lands are even more accessible for all Californians. And finally, he pledged to protect California's shorelines against expanded offshore oil drilling.
That is PolitiFact reporter Chris Nichols talking about the Newsom meter and the inauguration. Chris, thanks for being on Insight.
Thanks very much, Beth.
We have more on our website at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Capital Public Radio.